This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well, 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 brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Here on Well, 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 we delve into the issues impacting and surrounding the health and well-being of our gender, sex and sexuality diverse communities. I'm your host, Jack Ranjanan, and this week we're continuing our exploration of positive aging for people living with HIV in light of Sam Ash's Positive Aging for Positive People workshop series in Adelaide. Ben-Hur Winter from Relationships Australia also speaks about the power of dance and movement therapy in breaking down barriers for culturally and linguistically diverse communities. They also speak about their involvement in Sam Ash's Connect program, which promotes HIV testing and provides access to free HIV self-testing kits in Adelaide. That's all coming up this episode on Well, Well, Well.
You're getting Well, Well, Well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
My name is Ben-Hur and I'm from Adelaide, and I'm actually part of the cultural advisory group for Connect, and I'm also a peer worker and community educator with Relationships Australia for a program called PEACE, Multicultural Services. PEACE stands for Personal Education and Community Empowerment, and we're a multicultural team, so quite a broad range of people in the team and quite connected to their own communities as well. So we bring a lot of different skills, lived experience of being a migrant, I guess, either grown up in Australia, in Adelaide, or come over as an adult and done the whole migration story kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, there's always great energy within the group and the team. Always have lots of different food to kind of that we get to try out as well. So that's always a really good part of working at PEACE too. So yeah, I was so kind of thrilled to be invited to be part of Positive Aging for Positive People, the workshop series. And I think, I just wanted to maybe bring something that was more related to kind of getting in touch with participants, getting in touch with themselves through self-care.
Yep.
Also encouraging, you know, connection and teamwork and kind of personal reflection as well. And so the way to do that was I'm doing some work in the field of dance therapy at the moment. So dance and movement is the main kind of way of engaging with people with that. And so I came up with the idea of express your positive self as a way of bringing the group together in the mornings, I think, and working together and doing some physical exercises and activities to get them moving, get them up out of their seats, which I think it's a way of expressing kind of the joy of movement, I guess, and trying to find connections with, you know, personal stories and any kind of thing that they want to express as well. So we usually work with a theme, things like nature. I think Mother's Day is coming up, so I've got a ways of working around motherhood, like through text.
Yep.
And that kind of thing. We also explore things like improvisation with props. So I've got a activity that I do with scarves and some other movement experientials as well that I have to work with the participants.
How did you get into, I suppose, the field of dance and movement therapy? And I suppose for people who maybe aren't as well versed or understand, I suppose, movement therapy and dance and the crossover there, what that Venn diagram looks like. Mm-hmm. How did you get into those fields? And I guess, can you clarify where they kind of lean into each other and where there are some differences?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up as part of the Filipino-Australian community here in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And part of that was I was a cultural dancer when I was young. So that was more about dancing traditional dances. And that was a way of bringing the community together. So there was like that community belonging and identity, I guess. So I had that growing up. And it was a big part of who I am now, I guess. And then I went on to study ballet and contemporary dance. So I went to Adelaide University, and there was a dance course there with amazing mentors and teachers that were from America. So they were kind of dancers in the modern dance scene and contemporary dance scene. Yeah. So I did dance full time for three years. And out of that, you know, I kind of explored working in the field as a dancer, choreographer, working in dance companies and musical theatre, also in the community and teaching and commercial dance space as well. So yeah, I got to tour around with a show called Cats, and that was a lot of fun. And I think there was a connection with the physical and health aspects as well, which, you know, you have to kind of keep limber and fit and always have to be kind of on point when you're kind of working in that area professionally. And I think that crosses over into, you know, the one's personal life and into mental health and well-being as well. So having to be physically fit, but also being able to cope with the mental challenges as well that it brings, having to perform, you know, eight shows a week, that kind of thing. And but yeah, I guess I did like exploring the creative side and also the, I guess, the intellectual side of it as well. So writing about dance, going and reviewing shows and things, helping to spread the word about, you know, the benefits of watching dance as well as participating in it.
Yeah.
So, and then I came across the International Dance Therapy Institute of Australia, which is not-for-profit organisation based in Melbourne, and they've really helped people develop their professional side of dance movement therapy. So so dance movement therapy started in the 50s in America and through European influence as well, and it's been professionalised since then, and actually started with professional dancers working in more medical settings, so people in psychiatric wards and that kind of thing, and just finding ways to get people that probably don't have the opportunity to move and probably have mobility issues as well, as well as things like mental health and psychiatric diagnoses. So getting them moving and finding ways to work with them, and then over the years it got professionalised, so now it's actually a professional field of endeavour and study. So yeah, I really love it, and it's really fitted into my skill set and how I can kind of promote the health and well-being aspects of moving and the body and the therapeutic space as well. So that's a big part of it. So yeah.
You said that you came across that, I suppose, that organisation after your time at University of Adelaide.
Yeah.
Were there any, I guess, movement therapy specific aspects or subjects that you came across at University of Adelaide during your time there, or was it really just focused on, I suppose, dance as a performance art?
Yeah, well, the thing about doing dance for full time is that you get to explore the whole kind of scope of dance, the way the curriculum was kind of set up. Mm. So we did the practical stuff, so classical ballet,
yep,
contemporary dance, and then different styles of dance. So Asian dance, which was right up my alley as well. We did tap and jazz ballet. And Balinese and some Spanish dancing. So a lot of practical stuff to kind of increase our movement vocabulary. So not just moving in one particular way.
Mm.
And the way it was set up, it was not considered, you know, it was more contemporary dance and modern dance. So that was kind of the area. So, but that prepared graduates for careers in I guess professional dancing roles, but also if you wanted to become a teacher, we learnt composition and working with young people as well. And there was also things like dance criticism and dance writing. So we learnt how to write about, how to review dance performances, but also how to critically approach our own practice to choreography and movement. So we were actually, you know, making those connections to famous choreographers from different eras, like in the classical ballet field. So Diaghilev, people like Sergei Diaghilev, and famous ballets like, you know, The Nutcracker and Cinderella and that kind of thing, but also modern dancers as well. We did critical studies with Sydney Dance Company. So, and now there's a big focus on Indigenous dance through Bangara and kind of the whole conversation on First Nations people now as well. So that's a big focus too now. Part of the work we do at Peace in the multicultural team is around well-being and mental health, but also sexual health. So we work in the HIV and sexually transmitted infections spaces, including hepatitis. So it's providing education and support with community information sessions, as well as access to treatment and counselling and peer support. So as part of that, mental health comes into it quite a lot. So I was always interested in the connection between mental health and the body and movement, and I guess psychodynamically and psychophysically, so mind and body connections. And so I think psychotherapy and narrative therapy comes into it. So out of that, expressive therapy has also evolved as a field. So that's kind of any kind of way of expressing oneself, whether it's through music, drama, dance, or art therapy. And then through researches online, I discovered the International Dance Therapy Institute of Australia, so IDTIA, and they provided really professional and affordable kind of way of upskilling and getting into the clinical field.
So they were, providing you with the experience or the knowledge or the procedures to try and bring that experience to Peace? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. So the clinical training is quite very structured. So there's a whole lot of modules that you learn about how it's developed, and then how to use it in clinical settings, community settings, also the clinical aspect of it, which taps into things like counselling and also psychology. So a lot of reading material, which I think it's like going to be lifelong learning for me. But I think the course is 2 years, and it prepares people to work in group settings in communities, but also you get the skills to be able to have those one-on-one conversations if anything comes up in sessions where people want to explore a particular aspect of their exploration, whether it's, you know, whether there's any trauma involved or if there's kind of anything they're working through with particular goals in life as well. Like it's quite on a case-to-case basis, so it can be quite individualized, as well as I think the group cohesion and the group learning and the, I guess, the being able to feel part of something and exploring identity and having that sense of belonging is a big part of it.
What sort of impact have you seen on, I suppose, community members that you work with through Peace? After, do I understand that you're still at IDTIA doing that course?
I am actually, yes. So yeah, part of the field work is finding ways of kind of, I guess, integrating into your practice.
Yep.
And
what difference has that made, I suppose, for the people you're working with?
Yeah, I think mainly for me, it's kind of tapping into more the emotional aspect of it and being able to express that in a safe way. With mutual respect. So we get a chance. I usually warm up with a circle activity because the circle is so, it's egalitarian. So you're kind of there and you're meeting everyone where they're at. And we get to check in and introduce ourselves and say how we're feeling as well. So I usually do an emotional check-in, and then I get to get them to think about exploring gestures. So if they're feeling happy, then how would they express that apart from saying it, like with their body? So, you know, people get to be creative as well. So I think that's been a big part of it, is just exploring that with the different groups, getting them kind of not just, you know, talking about what they do it on the weekend, or
yeah.
That can come into it as well. But getting them thinking how, you know, things that happen in their lives affect them emotionally, and then I guess the therapeutic and movement part of it is being able to find ways of expressing that creatively through discussions, but also non-verbally. So yeah.
What are some of the challenges, I suppose, in working with culturally and linguistically diverse communities, in potentially introducing them, I suppose, to that mm-hmm. to that field? What are some of the difficulties there in walking people through that process mm-hmm. and potentially breaking down barriers to make sure that they sort of feel comfortable with what they're involved with?
Yeah, sure. I've been working with young, newly arrived migrants, and some of them have kind of quite a lot of trauma and have come from places that there's like armed conflict and that kind of thing. So parts of Africa and the Middle East. So coming from families that have come over to escape violence and war. So I guess for some of those young people, getting them comfortable with interacting with each other, that's been a little bit difficult sometimes. So getting them to move and actually having them feel comfortable in the group, the group setting, and setting up that safe space. So I think setting up the safe space is really a big part of it. And then getting to know each other and actually having those conversations. And it's just wonderful to see them, like if they've kind of come from a difficult family upbringing or cultural, cultural background, just getting them, on their feet moving, and just the feeling of actually getting back in touch with their bodies and how they're feeling and being able to express that.
Yeah.
And seeing them, you know, feel a little bit better at the end of the session and smiling.
Yeah.
Getting them more comfortable in the group as well.
I understand you're bringing some of that work to Positive Aging for Positive People, I guess, yep. for potentially South Australians living with HIV that might be curious or interested in coming. What are they likely to be seeing, I guess, as part of that that content?
So I hope to bring, get them to see, I guess, a sense of joy in life within the group. Mm. So we do exercises that kind of, it's like a big shakeout. You shake the body out and get back in tune with your body. So I get them to, I would invite participants to do like a body scan. So focus on different parts of the body, from maybe from sitting just with the soles of the feet and then going up through the body and then all the way to the top of the head, and then just getting them in tune that way. And then in tune with each other, so getting them up and moving. We have some like great music that we can help to encourage them to explore and get creative, and yeah, and bringing the themes into it as well, I think will be good. So I'm quite excited to get into planning the sessions for the workshops as well.
You've spoken a little bit about what you do at RASA, at Peace.
Yeah.
How did you come, I guess, to be part of the Connect project, and how has that position, I suppose, for you evolved?
Well, the way we first discovered Connect was Sky and Nikki came over to our where we based at Hindmarsh,
yeah.
to the Peace office, and introduced the project. And yeah, I guess working in the same within the sector of the community health sector.
Yeah.
They were looking for people to be part of the cultural advisory group.
Mm.
And so myself and another team member, Etty, are also, put our hands up. So that's how we first got invited. And it sounded like an exciting way to be able to connect with community members and show them, how easy it was to use Connect and to help spread the word about self-testing. And because sometimes in the communities that we work with, there are social and cultural factors that kind of, I guess, have an effect on how people about the see sexuality and gender diversity as well as relationships in general. Yeah. So it's a safe and easy way to be able to do that discreetly, without necessarily having to go into, the chemist or go to see a doctor. If sometimes they're on a visa that they can't, don't have Medicare or can't afford it, it's a safe way and affordable way of accessing testing. So I think it's been great to be involved with Connect so far.
Has most of that involvement been as part of the cultural advisory group? And I suppose what work does that group do within the project?
Yeah, so we would have periodic meetings, yep, where we would learn more about what Connect was about and how we can possibly increase people's awareness of it. So then the opportunity came about to be involved with the Instagram Reels. So I kind of reached out and said, I'd love to be involved. And so we started working with Nikki and the rest of the cultural advisory group. And I think we started working on the videos for that. They've been fun to work on as well. Yeah.
Has most of that work been around, I guess, translation and localization of the scripting, I suppose, for those? Is that where most of that work has been?
Yeah, so we came up with a kind of narrative and something that could perhaps help connect better with particular community groups. Yep. So we worked with Mandarin, so Chinese language, and then also had a South Asian cultural advisory group member featuring one as well. So finding ways to connect through, I guess, dynamic and kind of relatable little video clips.
What were some of the goals you were hoping to meet or concerns you were hoping to address as part of producing them?
I guess coming up with the script, I think the message was, looking after oneself, but also looking out for others. So in that way, it was kind of about, introducing people to what Connect was and then where they could find the free vending machines and to access the kits themselves. And then things that were relatable to young people from different backgrounds, because I think some of the data from the project so far was that quite a lot of young people from different cultural backgrounds that might have possibly students and that kind of thing were accessing them. So things like where the data goes and maintaining privacy and discretion if needed as well. Yeah. So and just the safety of using it as well and accessing the service and the test kits through the different vending machines.
How do you feel about the fact that there is a realization that we need to increase support for culturally and linguistically diverse communities, given, you work in the HIV and STI space, seeing that support increase, I guess, what does that mean to you?
I think it's really good to know that there's the support available. So the support in the way of education and access to things like PEP and PrEP, but also, HIV-specific medication, and there's the support and peer support and peer support groups for people living with HIV as well. So, it's great to be part of that. And I think also addressing things like stigma and discrimination and being able to, spread the word about the support available for that. And kind of respecting people's right to privacy and that kind of thing. So if you test as positive, then there's certain people who have different reactions to that. So it's about being able to support the person with how they with living the best life that they can, even if they do test positive.
If people want to find out more about Raza or Peace, where can they go?
Yes, sure. So Peace is a program of Relationships Australia, South Australia, and we have offices in different parts of the CBD, but I'm based with the team that's in Hindmarsh. So if anyone wants to get in touch, please reach out. You can email us at askpeace@raza.org.au, and we're also on Facebook and have a presence. We have a Facebook page called Unidos, which is a multicultural LGBT peace support group. So just jump online and search for Unidos, and you can find us there, and people can request to join the group.
Cool. Benha, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Jack.
You're getting well, well, well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
Thanks again to Robin and Ben Hur for coming on the show this week. If you're based in South Australia and want to know more about the Positive Ageing for Positive People workshop series, you can head to samesh.org.au for more information. If you missed part of this episode or want to catch up on previous episodes, head to joy.org.au/wellwellwell. And if you have any questions or topic suggestions for us, send us an email at wellwellwell@joy.org.au. That's all for the show this week, though. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Well Well Well, supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ+ health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.